Hi, I'm Richie Incognito. On the field, players have called me overly aggressive.
While off the field and on the croquet lawn, I'm quite civilized.
Oh, bullet hit.
Smashing.
While at our stadium today, we greatly appreciate you guys being loud and proud for the Dolphins. But please be respectful and civilized, and be sure to follow the fan code of conduct.
Please do not use foul or abusive language. Intoxication, fighting, taunting, or threatening remarks and gestures are prohibited.
Thank you for following our fan code of conduct. Anything less would be uncivilized.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game here. And to my left, Weasel, no Chris today because, well, again, he's trying to get right to save the world to become a firefighter one day. And, of course, you hear me with a little bit of oddness in my voice going on. But I am not scared. I will play hurt in the name of football. Awesome. That is what we do here on the Student of the Game. I don't know. Am I faking it real good? Do you think I'm going to make it through, Weasel?
It'll be all right.
What's the over-under on this? I don't know. Over-under 30 minutes before Kyle's voice explodes.
Perhaps. We'll see.
Oh, whatever. You place a bet. Hey, you know what? You place a bet because you a baller. I know what's up. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
Oh, so you didn't think I could pull that off, did you? Playing hurt at the finest level, son. Know your role. Anyways, of course, this is the Student of the Game podcast, and we are here on the National Gridiron Network bringing you football talk just the way you like it. Want to throw a shout-out and a thank you to, of course, the CEO of the NGSC, Ralph Garcia, for stepping in along with Sharona Fabulosa. They did a pretty solid job last week talking up the week that was after the Super Bowl. And, you know, basically the toughest part of the year to really find anything to talk about in the football world. But they stepped in while Weasel and myself were on hiatus. Weasel, because I'm a nice guy, I told him he could have the week off a long while back, and I was sick. And Ralph Garcia and Sharona stepped in, and so big thanks to both of them. Although Don Rafael could not resist being a smarty pants and talking smack on the show, but that's what he does, and that's why we love him. And also, I can't talk too much smack on him because he is the boss man around here. So there's that. Anyways, so with that aside, look, something I want to go ahead and get off the ground is already – we're getting towards that time of the offseason. Free agency is already in the air. And as of today, it is Monday, February 17th. It is now the starting point where teams can begin to franchise players. And two names that have come up lately are both Jimmy Graham and Dennis Pitta. Now, Weasel, I want to touch on this a little bit to you. Last year we had Victor Cruz. The year before we had Drew Brees, both major players and respective members of their offenses, the Giants and Saints, right? The thought was that neither Brees nor Cruz were going to go anywhere. Do you have that same feeling about Jimmy Graham?
I think he's going to stay in New Orleans because the thing is that, you know, the guy's one of the best in the league at his position. And I don't think he would want to get away from Drew Brees. I mean,
yeah, there's that. That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think Jimmy Graham's going to stay, but they'll have to pay him a little bit extra than some other people would like to pay him.
Oh, well, so I'll put it this way. Do you think, okay, two questions. Pop quiz, right? Do you think he will become the highest paid tight end in the league?
Yes.
Does he deserve to be the highest paid tight end in the league?
I think so, yes.
Wow, this was a really easy segment for you. Good job, Weasel.
Yeah.
No, hey.
Numbers don't lie.
Exactly. You put that perfectly, man. Hey, not at all times are we in a place where, you know, it has to be a tough question. I think it's pretty damn simple, too. You keep him. Look, Marquise Colston is a good receiver, but when it comes to receiving threats, there was a day where there was a cavalcade, a whole slew, if you will, of individuals in the receiver core for the Saints that can make a difference. I mean, you know, now it's not at that same level. They still have talented guys. I don't think, you know, like Devery Henderson, for example, was one who was a member of that group. You don't hear about him so much anymore. not making the same impact because he's not with that team anymore, obviously. But I think it's a place where Jimmy Graham is that central to that offense. Drew Brees is a good quarterback. No one's doubting whether he should be paid what he is. But now you're in a position where Jimmy Graham is going to get that big contract. Drew Brees already has that big contract. And you wonder how the Saints are going to cope with that draw, with that money, with that cap impact, if you will. And I think one way may quite actually be recently, this past week, just before the weekend. See, that's a disadvantage of being a weekly show, is we can't be right on every single solitary thing. But this particular instance I'm speaking of, the following players have been parted from the Saints. Will Smith, Jabari Greer, two central players to that defense. I know in Will Smith's case here, it's listed that he failed the physical, which, look, I understand that the National Football League is a place for people with, what's his word, athletic prowess, but that physical is pretty simple. I'm fairly certain I could pass it. So you fail that, what did you do wrong? It begs the question, but the three of them and just a fire sale of defensive players by the Saints, $16 million in cap adjustments. I mean, that's certainly going to serve to open up some room. So the question is this. The term goes, Weasel, that offense wins games, but defense wins championships. Does the Big Easy need to be prepared for the fact that championship days are over in New Orleans?
Well, sometimes you never know when you have a free agency. With the draft, you never know if you're gonna pick up some players that'll immediately contribute. So I wouldn't say it's done for them, but they're still a team that can put up points on the board. And Broncos did it all year, except for that Super Bowl thing.
Yeah, there's that. But again, we went over. I mean, we went over that quite abundantly. But I'll say, stick with the statement I made. I don't know that Joe Montana would have survived that defense.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's a good Seattle defense, but. With that offense, they'll be all right.
Okay, so you agree that they're going for the best offense is a good the best defense is a good offense, and they'll be just fine. Well, I'll put it this way: the Carolina Panthers had other plans for that just this past season, but I don't know. I'll just take the solid segue and go over to this, something I find very interesting. Actually, before we do that, Roman Harper also among the list of players. So that's two solid DBs. Jabari Greer and Will Smith, the defensive end, their big defensive end, both failed the physical, but they have been put on waivers for the Saints. So, yeah, there's that. That defense continues to get weaker. And Weasel said it best. They're going to have to hope that that's what they're doing in the draft. But division rival for the Panthers, their quarterback, divisional rival of the Saints is the Carolina Panthers, and their quarterback, Cam Newton, is currently negotiating an extension. He says he will not hold out going into the upcoming season to get a big contract. Immediately he would play it out. First of all, you're never going to look bad as a player saying that. I think that's pretty obvious. But let me ask you this question, Weasel. Is Carolina better off locking that up now rather than waiting until the next offseason?
It kind of – I don't know how Cam Newton is with his teammates, with the fans and stuff, but
– Oh, he's I can tell you already, he's huge with the fans. Without question, that's not a problem.
Yep. So, two years ago, Cam pretty much struggled a lot, and his numbers weren't up from his rookie year. And going into this year, people had low expectations for the guy. So he ends up taking them to a first round bye, and to the playoffs. And I think he's the kind of player that will playing out his contract, I don't think he's going to be looking like everywhere for a what team should I go to. I think he'll stay with the Panthers, but I assume that he's going to want to get paid like top 10 kind of money.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, for all intents and purposes, let's put it this way. We could talk about Cam's numbers being good or bad, but here's what I know is as a rookie, his team had a losing record, but they had lost, I forget the precise number, but I know it was five or more games within a score, which is to say eight or less points. And that ain't the quarterback's fault at that point, in my opinion, especially when he's a rookie and he broke records as a rookie and yada, 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 yada. People say his second year was a bad year. I don't agree. You mentioned the numbers. I mentioned the fact that he put his team in position to beat the then possible Super Bowl contender and also a conference championship Sunday participant for that year, the Atlanta Falcons. He set up one game where they could have won, and I believe he did beat them one time. So for a quarterback who has no help against an offense that features, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, Roddy White with, well, melted ice at quarterback. You know, I think that's worth mention. And then this year, to be honest, I don't know what happened different. I mean, yeah, obviously, Khalil, Luke Kuechly came into his own as a second-year linebacker. Charles Davis did his thing, rushing the passer as well. You started to see some solid play from the defense, and lo and be freaking hold, look what happened. They are one game away for conference championship Sunday. And honestly, you know, if they're playing Seattle instead of San Francisco in their house, perhaps they go and play against San Francisco in conference championship Sunday. We've talked about that week 13 because the refs suck and a shoulder is not ahead and all that. And if you don't know by now, ask me the question, tweet it to me at the SOTG. I'll tell you all what I'm talking about. But I don't know. Well, here's what I'm afraid of if I'm the Carolina Panthers, right? Because we saw what happened with Joe Flacco. They didn't sign Flacco. They didn't cut Flacco. They didn't really make a decision. They say, do your thing this year, and we'll see what happens. And then the Ravens won the Super Bowl. Flacco got his contract, and it was well more than he deserved. The Ravens have a fire sale of talent, including some retirements for Matt Burke. And, it wasn't technically a retirement for Ed Reed, but let's be real. It was an essential retirement, not to mention lose Danelle Ellerbe, Anquan Boldin, Paul Kruger, yada, 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 right? And they're where they are, okay? If Carolina says to Cam Newton, we'll play this year out, and then they could be in a position to where they're bent over the desk by a quarterback who they said, we'll see what happens. Let's say that the Panthers achieve what they do, or they do at least a game better. So their second round of the playoffs or conference championship Sunday. I won't say a Super Bowl just because I don't think the Panthers can do that. No offense, Panthers fans. I just don't see it. Then the Panthers are in a position to where we'll see what happens. Cam Newton does his job well. And everybody else, including them, knows that they are more than likely not going to find a better quarterback or B, be able to do better without Cam Newton. And then lastly, because Joe Flacco's contract, they'll be forced to, how you say, release the wazoo or pay out the wazoo, depending on how you want to say it, towards Cam Newton. Then, so whether they think he's top 10 or not, Cam Newton and his Cam Newton's agents are going to be like top five money now and jack up the price. Whereas, if the Panthers negotiate now, maybe they get a bit of a discount. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think, yeah, you did mention Flacco about how something really good happened. They won the Super Bowl, then he got paid. Now, with the way I look at it with the Panthers is that Cam Newton, he can take him a little bit farther in the playoffs. And if he does good, great. I mean, pay the guy some money. But if he struggles, though, you'll have a little bit more negotiating for what tier of money he should get paid. So,
Well, here's the answer to that. If it's a quarterback, he's going to get pizzayed anyway, right? I mean, if it's Cam Newton, he's not going to be cheap ever, okay? Now, the final year of his contract here, I just looked it up, $3.3 million for a quarterback? That's fan-freaking-tastic. Granted, Russell Wilson's contract's much lower, but Cam Newton was a number one overall pick, not a third rounder. I get that. Where I'm kind of sitting with the Cam Newton thing is the reason why you have to do this now is you show him two things. Well, no, I'll just say one thing because it's all really the same concept. We want to build a team around you, and we think you're what can take us to a Super Bowl. So technically that is two things, but the overall plan is the one thing in question, right? Cam Newton, the difference between Cam Newton and Joe Flacco in this discussion is before the Super Bowl 2012, where Flacco allegedly won, the Ravens won. Flacco was just along for the ride. That's where I said it. What? I'm just saying. Can you tell me I'm wrong?
Huh?
No, you can't. That's right. Shut up. No, but in all seriousness, after that Super Bowl, what did you see before, or what did you see then that you didn't before?
I think it's wins.
Think McDonald's. You never saw Joe Flacco in a commercial.
Yes, that's true.
Before, damn right, okay? But Cam Newton, however, has been in commercials. What, the iPhone? Hell, he's basically, and I know this doesn't count, but I have to mention this commercial because it's awesome. Young Nate, right? Hey, Cam, thanks for coming to our school. No problem, buddy. I'm going to play 60, you know, so if I grow up big and strong like you, yeah. And play in the NFL, sure. And play for the Panthers, okay. And be the starting quarterback, okay. And to make people forget about you, wait, what? Make you be your ball's favorite player? Whoa, okay. I don't care. Joe Flacco wasn't in those commercials, okay. So I think the one thing that the Panthers have going for them is the fact that Cam Newton transcends his income beyond roster money, right? So if he was relying on endorsements to get paid and actually wants a championship ring, which in itself, fiscally speaking, opens up doors all over the place. Because let me tell you, Weasel, when you're at the Hall of Fame, there are booths devoted to you signing your autograph or whatever. And if you're somebody with a Super Bowl ring, you could charge more. I'm not saying Cam Newton's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm just saying this is where I saw this, right? So you win a Super Bowl ring, instantly everything you charge for appearance-wise, endorsements-wise, it goes up. So you take a little less money in the contract, let the team go chase other talent, and then you're in a better situation overall.
I think one thing that'll help if he's a... if he understands that, you know, the contract is for, you know, whatever, 5-6 years, but there are teams like the Vikings did this where they'll sign a big name player and they'll say, oh, here's about $18 million signing bonus type thing. So their contract would be a little bit lower, but they get paid up front. So, but later on in the years though,
you're talking about the life of the contract. It'll be less, right?
Yeah. I think sometimes the players forget about that signing bonus and they're like, I want to be paid more like this guy.
Well, actually, it's going away from that, actually. It's going now to where guaranteed money is what the players are focusing on, which you got to admit that's a smarter move, especially in a place where contracts are not guaranteed. If you a signing bonus, for example, is that guaranteed money, right? The guaranteed money is the answer, and I mean, you know, it's gotten to the point where people are talking about Flacco's contract being $50 million or whatever. Truth is, it's only about 29-30 of it that's guaranteed, right? But if you're a quarterback and you're performing continuously, you're going to get that money. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like, you know, hey, you're a running back. I'm going to backload your contract so I can cut you when you turn 30 and you never see any of that money. No, yeah, of course, that's legitimate. But you're not going to have that problem as a quarterback, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just think the Panthers would be wise to make that happen, like, now-ish. That's just me. Not to mention going into OTAs and yada, yada, yada. People are going to talk about it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Now, a little bit more controversial quarterback facing this similar situation is one Colin Kaepernick. First of all, amongst NFL quarterbacks, where would you rank Colin Kaepernick in your mind? Just give me, he's winning the top, whatever.
I'll say top 10.
You think he's a top 10 quarterback?
At around number 10, but.
All right. I don't normally do this on the show, but it's the offseason, so we can do stuff like this. Top 10 quarterbacks, which means you should be able to name, you shouldn't be able to, rather, name 10 quarterbacks better, right? So let's do that. Let's do that real quick. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Manning, right? Okay, there's four off the bat. Number five, I don't know if you're going to say the second Manning at this point because of the season he had, but I don't know. You put Cam up here maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll put Cam in place. All right. Then we go over to excuse me. So these other quarterbacks. Don't let me do this by myself, Nair. Help me through this. Let's speed through this a little bit. Okay. Well,
you got like Matt Ryan. You got any
Okay, Dalton. Matt Ryan is not going to be in the top 5. Do better than that. I'm not saying Phillip Rivers, but damn, okay.
Right after him in the stats line is mostly Phillip Rivers.
Stats.
Yeah, I know.
Look at, come on, Weasel, you're better than this. I challenge you to be the GFM I know you are. Come on, baby.
Well, Colin Kaepernick, it looks like there is a little bit, he's a little bit farther back than I anticipated. But him, I believe this is his third year in the league. His first year, he sat pretty much most of it.
I think he's coming up on his fourth, actually.
Yeah, so. His numbers they're pretty good. I mean, 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions and such. So, and the guy, they know that he has talent. But
and keep in mind, that's just passing stats you're looking at right there.
Yeah, he runs too.
A little bit. Has more running yards in the playoffs than any quarterback ever. That you know, nothing.
Yep, so. But it's about... they'll pay him if they believe that this guy is the franchise quarterback of their team, because they take him to the playoffs and stuff. But I mean, that conference championship in the NFC didn't look that good for him. So
how did it not look that good for him?
Well, turnovers in the game and
wait a minute. So now hold up on that, because we went over this some. A player cutting off a route. Oh, no, I'm thinking the wrong thing. Excuse me. The one interception did look bad. The interception that entered the game, I'm not putting that on Kaepernick. And the fumble from the blind side, letting that defensive end through, I mean, people were blaming Colin Kaepernick for that. I can't. So I don't know. Really, I think a bigger problem is that they rack a discipline. And if you think that Colin Kaepernick lacks discipline, racket discipline, that's fine. Because South Park, I can make that joke. No, but, and I'm looking at Colin Kaepernick's contract numbers, okay? He made 740,000 base. And that's without bonuses and stuff. So basically, his cap hit last year was about 1.4 mil. It'll be 1.6 next year, his final year. And of course, people are talking extension. Because, look, this guy getting what he's worth sooner than later is a safer move. You can lock him in a little bit more. Right. But Anquan Boldin's a concern, for example. I mean, I know the Ravens said that he was done after 2012, and there's talk that the Niners are trying to land a multi-year deal with him. How's that looking for you, Baltimore, by the way? Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I don't know. When... Let me put it to you this way, Weasel, right? Because we said that Cam Newton's contract his final year was 3.3 mil, right? We said that Colin Kaepernick's cap hit, okay, is 1.4 for the previous year, 1.6 for the current year. And, you know, I'm going to look up Joe Flacco's Let me look up Matt Stafford. That'll be a bit more relevant as to where the market is right now, right? So we got Matt Stafford's contract here. Excuse me. So his number is going to be stupid because he just had that big signing, I shouldn't say signing, extension, right, last year to basically match Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's all that. He and Aaron Rodgers last year, I referred to them as the playoff of the paid off. I thought I was very, you know, smooth coming up with that. But so the cap hit for, oh my God, the cap hit for Matt Stafford next year is $15.8 million. So in your mind, Weasel, if you're trying to sign Colin Kaepernick, what's the number his contract should represent each year for you? 5, 10?
I think it would be about, say about $7 million.
Seven, okay.
Seven. So he gets paid some, you know, put some stuff up front, and because I don't really see him as a, you never know with some players, but I don't see him as a guy that's going to hold out for, you know, a huge contract. Maybe in like, if he's in the later years of his contract.
Which he maybe, currently is, actually. I mean, his contract isn't up this year, but the following.
Yeah. So, I mean, that guy, pretty much, I mean, they got rid of Alex Smith, saying, you know, this is the guy. So, I just hope he doesn't get paid, you know, like top five money or something like that. So,
like $20 million a year. Yeah, now, I agree with that. Yeah. But it's the big dilemma. And I mean, look, if you're successful as a team, there's one of two things you could do. Get a really, 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 really awesome quarterback. What's the names again? Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, right? And pay them umpteen buttloads of money. Or get a breakout guy and build someone around him, or build around him, like Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick. You could say to an extent Cam Newton. What's his name? Andy Dalton. And move from there. Now, I know everyone's bitching about Dalton because we did in the playoffs, and arguably rightfully so, but there's no middle ground there. I don't know. So, with that, that's just the conundrum of the quarterback and the negotiation concept at the moment. But we're going to go ahead, and we're going to take the break a little bit early because we can do that. This is the National Gridiron Network.
National Gridiron Network. Join as we tell you what is happening with your favorite team in the NFL or the NCAA. Listen in as we preview every football game week by week to the end of the season. Follow us at NationalGridironNetwork.com and read up on the latest that is happening across the football landscape. NGU, football talk, just the way you like it.
And, of course, this is the Student of the Game here on the National Gridiron Network. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with Weasel Wheeze, Steven. Oh, yep.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, my bad. I'm the Weasel Wheeze!
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, see, that's much better. Steven Weasel Hurley here, throwing it down. And, look, we know it's the off season, but there's still plenty of cool stuff to talk about that we don't normally get to. And another reason why Weasel and I didn't get to talk about this last week, it's because we were off, but the news broke because, hey, there is no offseason of football. Sure, there's not games being played, but football's that awesome that people are paying that much attention to it. If you don't believe me, just turn on ESPN. I'm just saying. But, so, and I want to touch on this, you and me, because there's some aspects of it that aren't being explored well enough, in my opinion. So I want to go ahead and get a chance to get in there. But, of course, by now, if you haven't heard, please crawl out of the rock. Michael Sam of Missouri, defensive end, is now being referred to as the first openly gay player to participate in the NFL draft. Now, obviously, look, there's a couple things that are obvious that I want to get out of the way here, Weasel. And you know, I know I think you're of this mind as well. Everyone's saying, oh, this shouldn't be a story, it's not a big deal. There's a lot of things that shouldn't be stories but are, because while you and I personally don't think it's that big a deal, the fans, you know, do care about it. This is why the reason, I mean, it's no different than we're watching the Super Bowl and people are going crazy. What was it? Indianapolis versus Chicago. I mean, everybody was talking about the first African-American coach to win a Super Bowl. I didn't see why that was news, but it was, you know, made news at the time, right? And I think this is, I don't know why this is newsworthy, but people are talking about it. You know, Michael Sam, you know, being openly gay, all this other stuff. Neither of us are against him playing. You know, we don't think, we don't, other players are going to catch the gay from, no, we don't, we're not, that's not what we're doing here, okay? But there are some questions out there that have been asked that, you know, I think you and I should talk about because they're legitimate questions. And for one of the questions asked is, why is Michael Sam coming out now at this time? What do you think he gains or loses in making this public at this point? Weasel.
One thing in the NFL is that I don't think anyone's really, besides him, really came out and, you know, say they were gay before the season started. Or even
If anyone comes out, it's after their career is over. If and when he is drafted, he will be the first active, openly gay player, period.
So he is the first. And I think he's trying to, I would say, open the doors for other people too, that in the NFL, that it's okay to, you know, say you are or not. And, I mean, the guy, he's been all open. I mean, he played for, I believe it was Missouri.
Yep.
And he was impressive. So,
let's make sure we're clear here. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Okay. Not Jadeveon Clowney, right? Last year, Michael Sam, which, by the way, as a guy who's a tweener, so he could be, he's going into the draft as a tweener, which means he could play either defensive end or linebacker. If he's going to move to linebacker, the fact that his name is Mike and Sam, right? Mike for middle linebacker, Sam for strong side. I mean, unless his name was Michael William Sam, because Will's the weak side for those who don't know, that would be ridiculous. That's kind of like Danny Woodhead. The only thing that would make his name more perfect if it was Richard. The only thing that would make Michael Sam's name more perfect is if it was Michael William Sam. I'm just saying. I forget who pointed that out. It was someone I was listening to last week. But I heard that. I'm like, yeah. So regardless of what other implication, dude's got the perfect name to play this game. Let's keep going. But in your mind, is he better off going public with that now than if he had waited?
Well, you got a guy that's, I mean, being like, you know, the SEC player, defensive player of the year and stuff. You got a guy that has some talent. Now, if he was drafted and then maybe like early on in the season or later on in the season, he, you know, came out and stuff. I mean, you know, people would treat him differently, like because there's like a, it's like there's a, you have,
you have. What, like, were you talking about different circumstances, different locker rooms, what?
Well, I think to sum it up is that coming out now, he gets to be with a team. He's going to be picked by a team that can be of a coach like Belichick, where they'll, you know, they'll work with them and they're professionals.
And they'll know him just as a football player.
Randy Moss pretty much was seen as a problem child, and the Patriots, you know, they went by smoothly with him, but this guy, he's going to go to a team because we're going to talk about later the Wells report with Incognito.
Yeah, well, with bullying, sure. I mean, that's a great point too.
There was one of the players, a little spoiler here, that he was said, people were saying that he's gay, and it wasn't known
using
if he was
slurs,
or not.
Using gay slurs on him, even though he's not gay in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
right?
Ran like you know, words that are very offensive.
Right.
And if he goes into a locker room like that, I mean, they have people making fun of a guy for maybe being gay, and then they have this guy
who actually is gay. Watch them open the door and open fire. Excellent point, Weasel. See, and you were worried. I knew you were gay. I knew you had something there. Believe, damn it. You're a great football mind. No, and to that end, you're talking about a while's gone by, and then they figured it out. And I like where you're going with him being open about it, because let's pretend he didn't go public. Okay. People were cornering Manti Te'o this time last year about his sexual preference or whatever, right?
Well, it was all about that the fishing thing, the catfish thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that's where it started, right? But eventually, at some point, they were even questioning whether or not he was gay, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
So during the draft, they're asking these questions. They're doing this probing. Probably not a good choice of words there. But what I'm trying to say is this: they were actively searching for something. Now, Michael Sam had come out to his teammates in Missouri, and it was kept within that locker room. Everyone in that locker room knew, but it wasn't public knowledge, which the fact that that even occurred in this day and age, and it was kept that quiet.
That's impressive. It's impressive.
Okay, look, Weasel, let me be honest. You throwing a pass 50 yards for a completion is impressive, okay? This is damn near miraculous, all right? I mean, you know, and I'm not saying you can't throw the football well, but you throwing it 50 yards for a touchdown and completion isn't something that happens every day. That's impressive. This is more than impressive. Bending the physics of possibility that this didn't come out sooner is really a better description at this point, right? You see where I'm coming from? but what I'm trying to say is this is something that would have either come out to the forefront outright or would have had whispers all over it and hurt his draft stock anyway, right? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, Michael Sam hurt his draft stock. Why? Because people don't want the media circus. So if those rumors exist, well, why did his draft stock drop? Because people are worried about the media circus. He's going to get the media circus either way, right? And if you're going to be one with a media circus following you, you might as well have it A, happen on your terms, and B, you know, if you happen to look like a bit of a pioneer coming out openly about it. I'm not going to say that his main reason for doing it was endorsements, but it certainly is. I think it's going to one day be a latent benefit. Whether it's endorsements that lead to cash or the fact that he has a name that where he can push forth causes involving gay rights and things like that is irrelevant. He will be somebody who can command that influence because he was credible. And right up front, he said, yes, this is me. This is my lifestyle. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to go out and be a football player. Moreover, and this is something that isn't talked about much, but this is something I feel like it is. I think it helps. Is the style of player that he is, right? If it's a receiver, if it's a running back, it's a quarterback, if it's any sort of a ball carrier, a skill position, which is an insulting thing if you ask me, because linemen have plenty of skill, but I digress. he could possibly be in a position where he's targeted, he takes dirty hits, or people will be looking for that sort of thing. Whereas if he's a defensive lineman, and he's the one issuing punishment, he's seen as more, and look, like I said, me personally, I don't care, but the perception is that he'll be more, you know, strong, manly, masculine, macho, whatever, as a dude who's lighting people up than as a player on offense. It just is what it is. So I think that kind of helps him too, at least subconsciously. I don't know. You think I'm crazy there? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know. There's something I want to throw out there too as well, but the only way for him to be successful was to bring that news out now.
Yeah.
Or the best way, I should say. Because you said it best, if he's in a locker room, that is going to be, I'll say, less tolerant, where there's certain troublemakers in place, you know, who aren't exactly incognito about their personal feelings.
Not bad. I like that one.
Yeah, I thought you might. You know, that could be a potentially dangerous situation. And look, if you're a front office that honestly doesn't want to deal with the media storm on that front, I know there have been some NFL players that go, hey, if you're worried about that as a distraction, then your team's already in trouble. Okay, look, maybe you just don't want that. I mean, and that's okay. Whether the guy is gay or, you know, or whether he's Tim Tebow, or whatever, you know, if you don't want the media firestorm in your locker room as an owner, that's your right. And I can't disrespect that.
I'm going to bring up Tebow. I know.
Tebow. There it is. Go ahead, Weasel.
This guy is, like, you know, iconic with many people. He's teams that you're not your favorite. You will a lot of times just look up how Tebow is doing, like if he was going anywhere. And I'll just say that for the Patriots, Tebow was like everything, and there was very little talk. I think he made some statements, and then he walked away and stuff. But the circus, there was no circus at all. It was controlled. So Mike Sam, most likely he'll get picked, you know, I would say about fourth, fifth round or so, but they may get a steal out of that. And he was open about it. So he's got nothing to hide, because I think it's a lot of players, like in the NFL, they do hide it and they say it later. But this guy is the one that says it now.
Not a lot of the other players. All the other players to this point have hit it. There's no middle ground there. That's what it is. I'm not saying this to get on your case. I'm saying this so everyone understands. There is no other.
Yeah.
No. So anyways. So I don't know. Just because I've heard people ask that question about, well, why did he come out now? Well, okay, that's why. It probably would have been found out anyway. I'm just saying. So speaking, and Weasel touched on it. Speaking of people being bullied, there was a different sort of bullying that took place in the Miami Dolphins organization last year. And a lot of times we talked about on the show a little bit already with you, amongst you, me and Chris here. And basically what it came to was we were waiting for all the facts to come out. Well, thanks to the Ted Wells report that was released this past Friday, the facts indeed are out. Which is funny because, see, one very involved party, one Richie Incognito, tweeted out that the truth will come to light when this report's released and, you know, it'll be seen, that the truth will be revealed and all this. And the truth, not really flattering for you there, Richie. Gotta tell you. I don't know. Go ahead and lead this off, Weasel.
All right, so we got good old Jonathan Martin coming into the league. I believe it was 2012.
Correct. He came into the league as a rookie after being a member of the national championship team with Stanford, coached by Jim Harbaugh.
And when he went into, you know, the NFL and all, he was with the Dolphins, where the group of people he was with, it was like the offensive line were very like tight knit and stuff like that.
Right.
And the thing about Jonathan Martin is that, you know, they talked about in the Wells report how he is, he's the kind of guy that doesn't want confrontation.
He's reserved. He's quiet. He's not going to be aggressive. He's not outspoken to speak of any of that.
Like, Incognito and Martin, there was like, literally, I think it was like 1,000 messages that they're pretty much, you could read them online. You could track them down.
Well, actually, and there's portions of them within the Wells report itself.
Yeah, some of the things is that he, Incognito, I mean, he's like really, you know, harsh about it. I mean, the guy's been, while they say he's been harassing him, you got a player that he, in Jonathan Martin, that he's been bullied as in middle school.
Yeah,
he's been
youth.
Bullied in high school.
Right.
I think he was at Stanford. He had, I believe it was Harbaugh as his coach there.
Jim Harbaugh, yeah.
And now it's like he pretty much went, I think he went along with a lot of things.
Well, let's dial one thing back real quick. We're not implying that Jim Harbaugh bullied him.
No,
okay,
not at all.
But that not culture isn't going to be a simple one.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny, Harbaugh actually had a lot of good things to say about him as a player when he was making that advance from Stanford to the NFL. But go ahead, Weasel.
So what it comes down to is that it wasn't just Richard Incognito. The Wells report also said it was the people that, you know, were doing the harassing, Incognito, John Jerry, and Mike Pouncey. Now, those three players right there, it wasn't just Incognito.
Right.
I mean, these guys were, you know, doing the things. It wasn't like one prank or one thing to say wrong. They were using, I mean, like a vulgar language and a lot of derogatory terms.
Well, and let's dig into that a little bit. So first off, there is a history in the NFL where the culture is to hazing, right? Okay, so you come in as a rookie and you get harassed a bit. You're asked to, you know, buy donuts. You're asked to carry the other player's pads. You're taped to the goalpost and left there, that kind of thing. So in 2012, Jonathan Martin was hazed. Let's call it what it is, right? He and another player in the report, which was referred to as Player A, which many reports are saying now is Andrew McDonald. Actually, Andrew McDonald's come out and said, I am Player A at this point, to which he also says he has no problem with the Dolphins organization. I have no idea what that means exactly.
Means he wants to keep his job.
Well, and it's funny you mention that, right? So you're Jonathan Martin, okay, and your ambition is to get in the NFL and make millions of dollars playing the game you love, the game of football, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this he was seen as reserved early on. And according to the report, you know, a lot of jokes were made about the with the movie A Few Good Men and the Code Red and all that. The front office noticed, hey, this cat's a little
soft.
They would attribute it to softness, right? I mean, you know, would you call Eli Manning soft, right? He's quiet, but he has 2 Super Bowl rings and is a good team leader, right? Is he soft? That's a different question. I don't know. It depends on, but in their view, he was soft. So, you know, much like the movie, Few Good Men, you know, they're like, well, we're going to train him, okay? We're gonna make him tougher. Not so much. See, and that's the part that I can't quite catch, right? Jonathan Martin in 2012 started every game, I believe, for the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
What? Toughen him up. Okay? He started at one tackle spot, and when Jake Long got hurt, he went to the left tackle spot.
It's, you know, versatile on both sides. That's big.
Not to mention, it said that on the O-line, the left tackle is the most important spot. If he's doing a good job, that I don't care if he's soft as a pillow. If he's doing a good effing job, first of all, that in itself means he can't be soft. I'm just saying, A, B, who cares? He's doing the job.
Yep. So
I don't know.
So you got those 3 guys. And
Pouncey, Jerry, or excuse me. Pouncey.
Jerry and
Jerry is, okay. So Pouncey, Jerry, yeah. Incognito. Okay, go ahead.
So with the Wells report and all, they were saying like it's a history of harassing him. Like Jonathan Martin, from what I've read for like interviews and such, he was he kept to himself. He wasn't spontaneous guy that, you know, is the outspoken person in the locker room, like how Incognito was.
He's not vocal.
He's not very vocal at all, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was hoping that after the hazing, quote-unquote hazing, you know, during his rookie year would not follow into his second year. And, I mean, the two of them, they were like people saw them, quote-unquote, as friends. And they're using these text messages as, hey, look, Jonathan Martin isn't that innocent after all. All these text messages show that, you know, they're friends and stuff. And the thing about that I see there's a big thing wrong with it is that text messages are one thing, but the interactions with a player, that stuff that you don't see, like, online or anything.
Well, and let me get into that real quick. So okay, so you're talking about the text. They were friends, but then they're claiming he's harassing him. And that's, look, even in the report itself, the term bipolar personality, bipolar friendship, whatever you want to call it, was used in reference to Richie Incognito. There were times where he would whip off his shirt and want to kick my ass, quote, according to the report that stated Jonathan Martin said. There were times we want to rip off his shirt and kick my ass, and then we were about ready to go over to have a meeting at the local gentlemen's club and hang out, you know. So, Weasel's going to drop some knowledge on me.
Okay. Now, there was something that was kind of interesting with Incognito. Now, Incognito, Pouncey, and Jerry, they all signed a Dolphins conduct policy. You know, we had that at the beginning of the show. But this one
that's the fan conduct policy.
That's the fan one. And so they actually signed a Dolphins conduct policy that prohibited harassment, including unwelcome contact, jokes, comments and antics, generalizations, and put-downs. They technically wrote, they signed the paper, so I think they'd only had, something to do there. But one thing that's about this incognito guy that you can get an idea of what he, like the guy, his attempts or his, what the purpose was for why he was doing this was that on November 1st, Incognito and Martin texted back each other. And towards the end, Incognito was saying, was like buddy-buddy type thing with him. And they're saying that there are times where he manipulated him and he throws these text messages out there. And it sounds like, you know, Jonathan Martin is not, you know, he's a wimp and stuff. So November 1st, support.
Which, by the way, usually the word wimp was not the word used Incognito. It was a very,
this is the radio word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't we can't use the actual word. I mean, while we're not on TV or anything like that, we're trying to keep a certain level of contact with language, but let's just say it's a word we cannot repeat, but you may use it to refer to your pet cat. I'm just saying.
And let's just say that there's other words that were said, like something like a female would does one not want to hear.
No, God, let's not even go there,
and
please.
It's just that Incognito and Martin, they were going back and forth. Martin was playing along with it. Hopefully, you know, he'd stop, you know, harassing me or, you know, bring it down a little bit. But about that November 1st text with support, they also got not only Incognito to Martin's text, they also got text he had to his buddy, Pouncey. So now hours later after making that text, Incognito texts back and forth to Pouncey about how Martin is a quote-unquote wimp and a snitch. Now, the thing about being a snitch in this is that people are saying, oh, why didn't you just go to the coaches and stuff like that? It's just that if he did, right there, he's a snitch. And
bingo.
And about the whole thing about, you know, the harassment and all, it was like, this was like a way that, you know, he felt he had to do it. And something that I don't think a lot of people are, you know, bringing up is that this most likely can have something to do with like a chemical imbalance or mental step.
Well,
unstable.
Be careful with that, because to this point,
it could
Jonathan Martin is still self-diagnosed, so we don't really know if that's the case. But there is behavior consistent with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's really sad that, you know, with Martin and all, and one thing that. Was kind of messed up is that there was a trainer, an athletic trainer who lived in Japan, and the three of them wore like these headbands, they were like a Japanese kind of headbands, and this guy, they would harass this trainer, let's just say about calling him certain racial names. And
basically, like, Asian slurs, right?
On Pearl Harbor, they pretty much said, we're gonna, you know, beat you up because what you did on Pearl Harbor Day or something. It's really bad. And
he would even bring when Incognito was talking smack on Jonathan Martin, he would even bring his sister to it, talking about all the explicit things he would do to her and things like that. Right? Anyway,
yeah, that was pretty
made me want to punch someone as I was reading the report. I'm just
saying. And so that was when they didn't met his sister and they haven't met his mom. His mom was receiving a lot of word from them, and they actually met him, and then it started, like, you know, escalating even more.
Oh boy.
So
anyways,
one thing about 2012 was that this has to do with Martin about, you know, the harassment kind of thing. Offensive line coach Jim Turner, he gave the offensive lineman a gift. It was like a little stocking kind of bag.
Right. It was a Christmas party, and we were giving favors to this party.
So included for all except one player received a female blow-up doll.
Yeah. Okay, which, first of all, that's a classy party up front. But this other player, who is not Jonathan Martin, by the way.
Yes, this other player.
What did he get?
He was given a male blow-up doll.
A male version.
And the thing is this was because the players kept badgering him, calling him gay or other slurs. Now, the reason I brought up with the whole situation with... lost myself here.
With one of the players, or
well, we brought it up earlier with who's the bullying, and how it's not just incognito.
Oh, it was Pouncey as well as Jerry.
And but this guy is the offensive lineman coach. It's the guy
Turner.
The guy works with him, and he didn't say anything, of course, to Philbin or anything like that. And so this guy, Mike Sam. Sorry about that. The Mike Sam, he could have gone into a team like
with
the Dolphins.
Yeah, with this culture in place.
And I think with him doing that, it would be, Mike Sam could have a problem, but
if he came out later and this was the environment in which he came out, it could have been the problem. Yeah, no, you made that point nicely. But yeah, so let's get back to this.
Uh-huh.
So the party example you mentioned demonstrated, how it wasn't just Martin that was getting the abuse, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then also referenced in the report is this $10,000. Now, the reason why I bring that up is, again, everyone's focused on the N-word and people saying naughty words to each other and all that. And I'm not saying that that isn't harassment and that it shouldn't be addressed. But when players are, what's his word, in extorting money from one another, which is what happened in the instance of this $10,000. So basically, Richard Incognito, Pouncey and Company came up with a fine book. In other words, if you committed some sort of atrocity to make you seem soft, you would be assessed fines that you were expected to pay the offensive line. It was one of the other offensive linemen who was designated to collect. One of the entries in the fine book, which... Granted, if Richie Incognito figured everything was okay and on the up and up, when he found out he was about to be suspended, he asked Pouncey in a text message to destroy the book. I don't know if that's a guilty concept or not, but...
There is...
quickly, we got 3 minutes left.
Gotcha. There's one thing in the fine book that Incognito, he wrote this himself, not someone else. He wrote a fine for $200 for him for breaking J-Mart,
which he caused him to emotionally respond and explode on a particular hazing instance. Yes.
And one more thing with Martin, he received a $10,000 quote-unquote fine.
And that's what I'm talking about.
For
right
not
here.
Going yet to the Vegas trip with him. So jokingly,
so Martin,
I think they put
yeah,
that?
They claim it's jokingly, but Martin pays it. If it's such a joke, one simple question, Weasel, why wasn't the money returned?
Yeah, that's no one knows about the money. But what it comes down to, I think, for me is that he, Jonathan Martin, I think there's like some of the mental problems that were maybe involved.
We don't know. He's only self-diagnosed at this point.
And he's, he went to get help. And the one thing about this whole thing is that everyone's on Cognito's side. And I don't see anyone on J-Mart's side.
Within the locker room, it certainly seemed to be that way.
Yeah. No Dolphin players. I haven't heard anything positive in regards to Martin.
Andrew McDonald, player A, mentioned in the report, comes out with a statement that he doesn't have any issues with the Dolphins. I mean, that in itself, it seems that Martin's being ostracized, and that's the thing that makes the Dolphins look the worst. Now, the report itself says that they're satisfied that Coach Joe Philbin nor former GM Mike Ireland had knowledge of it. That could be. But apparently the O-line coaches had knowledge. I don't know. All we could say is that the report came out, and while we were waiting for all the facts, now we have them. The point of the matter is this. Jonathan Martin was hazed. I mean, it's pretty damn black and white. And now literally with the report being in place. Anyways... That'll pretty much do it for us this week here on the Student of the Game. Of course, you can always follow us on Twitter at the SOTG. Check out the website, www.thesotg.com. And also check out nationalgridironnetwork.com and proplayerinsiders.com. The National Gridiron Network will have writers present at the Combine interviewing players. It will have a daily write-up during the Combine, bringing you up to date on all the headlines and important highlights and things like that. So look out for the Combine coverage. We may not have all the events on a TV network yet, like the NFL does, but we will be writing that up. We will have player interviews. It's going to be a good time. You're going to want to check it out on NationalGridironNetwork.com and ProPlayerInsiders.com. Thank you to Pro Players for getting us involved with that. But until next time, Weasel, class.
Thank you. 10
dismissed.
Seconds. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.